Welcome to Created, a Blueprint podcast.
I want to be creative on my own terms.
DIY isn't a hobby, it's a lifestyle.
This is what I want to do.
How do you stay inspired to create?
We sit down with designers, creators, doers, and makers who made it.
Did you want to have a career that was creative? When did you make this a business?
It's just what I've always loved to do. I don't know why.
We find out what sparked their passion and how they turned a hobby into a full-blown creative career.
I was this 22-year-old kid who just got a job at a comic book school.
Keep being willing to expand yourself.
You can do whatever you want, especially as a creative where the industry is always changing.
I love hearing people's stories.
Let's do it.
In this episode, Christy Glass talks with interior designer Joe Gick.
Hey, Joe Gick. It is so nice to see you here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm Christy Glass, and I am thrilled to learn about your whole everything journey.
Okay.
So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
What do you do?
So I went to school for interior design.
Where?
I graduated from Northern Arizona University. I went out to Arizona to go to Arizona State, but then I ended up transferring and finishing at NAU because it was more of a residential program, and I was more interested in doing that than commercial work.
So you mean like the interiors of a house as opposed to an office?
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah. So I went out there. I came out. I'm like this, you know, girl from Ohio that has, you know, I don't know anybody. I'm like so naive to the world because I grew up in this small town. And then here I am. Then I came out to Arizona. And
when you were in Arizona, even though it was a school setting, did it feel like a bigger place than Ohio?
Yes, because Arizona State is one of the biggest colleges. And I just felt swallowed up by it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, do I belong here? Like, there's so many people. And I felt a little bit out of place. I really enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed meeting new people from all different places that I hadn't been exposed to being in Ohio. And so I really loved that. But after doing a few years of the program, I just decided, like, this is a little bit too big for me.
So the transfer to Northern.
So I transferred to Northern Arizona.
And when you studied interior design there, was there also a business aspect of it? Or were you just sort of launched with how to decorate a beautiful house?
No, there's definitely a business involved. There's a lot of things you have to specify and codes you have to meet and things like that. There's so much more to it than just picking out things and, you know, fluffing pillows and all that. I mean, there really is a science to it, and it's all about everything functioning for your client. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize, that there's so much more to it than just pick, oh, I like this, and this looks pretty with this. It's really, there's a science to it for sure.
I was shocked at the math involved with making a room. Isn't there a lot of math?
There's a ton of math.
Just measuring.
And I'm actually really not that great at math, but I know enough math to get me by.
It's rough.
For my design job.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I have made some bad choices with furniture, let me just say, because I do not know how to measure. When you graduated, what happened next?
So I graduated. I was dating my husband at the time. He is an Arizona native, which they're kind of few and far between. More of the kids now are Arizona natives, but my husband, you know, everyone's a transplant from somewhere. My husband grew up in Mesa, and we just started dating and dated for 4.5 years, got married in Ohio, and started our family.
And so did you work or just focus on?
Yeah, I worked in the interior design industry for about 4.5 to 5 years before I started my own business with my business partner, Jen. And during that time, I worked on model home design, which was a really great learning experience because you're turning over interior design so fast. You get a project from a builder. They want it this style. This is their budget. And you, like, sometimes I would design 4 or 5 houses at a time. And it was sort of assembly line design, but I learned so much about, maybe I won't ever use that paint color again, or maybe I don't like the way that looks with that. But it was okay because no one was living there. It still looked okay, but I took a lot of mental notes about this is something I'm definitely not going to do again.
Interesting.
And so when I started my own residential business, I was able to take all that experience that I had learned from doing these model homes over and over and over, and applying those to someone's actual home.
Tell me about the process of going from working for the model homes or working for that company to starting your own business, because you're doing that in the midst of motherhood and
right.
young married couple, and that just seems like a huge leap. So can you talk about that process?
So I found out I was pregnant right after I got laid off, because the market crashed in 2008 and the housing market was done. And so people were not building model homes. And so I worked for this huge firm and they laid out, I mean, I was one of the last rounds of layoffs. So I kind of skated by for a while. And my business partner called me one day. We were friends. We had only been working together for about 6 months. And she said, "Do you know anybody that would want to start a business with me?"
Was that a loaded question?
Yeah. And I was like, really? Like, well, what about me? And she said, "Well, I know you just had Marin, my daughter who's now 9. I know you just had Marin. Like, I thought you wanted to be like a stay-at-home mom." I'm like, I can't. Like, that's just not in my blood. I'm just not the type that can sit still and, you know, stay home with the kids.
For the record, stay-at-home moms do not sit still.
No. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I'm a busybody.
I know what you mean.
So I need to be.
You need something outside the home.
I love my children, yeah. But like, I can't spend every waking minute with them.
I feel you.
So
I just had to say that for the stay-at-home mom.
No, I hear. No, I did, and I didn't mean that derogatory.
I know.
So, yeah, we started our business and we started working out of my loft at my house, and we had. You know, we would work on things together, and now we're at the point where we do most of our own projects because we just have so much business. So,
did you write a business plan?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not a technical person, mm-hmm. and those kind of things are important to me.
Do you and your partner have the same skill set?
Yes. We have the same work ethic. And I knew that from working with her. Mm-hmm. So we were the ones that were always there working late when...
Oh, so you were together at the model home company.
Yeah.
I see.
And so people would be like, "I gotta go home. I gotta make my husband dinner or whatever." And we're like, "Well, we gotta get this done mm-hmm. tomorrow. We have families too, but like, eh." So her and I would stay late and get it done. And so I knew she had the same work ethic as I did. And that was really important to me.
What do you have together... What about the two of you sort of makes the partnership filled out? Or is there anything missing that you farm out to other people? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Well, I just feel like I bring ideas to the table, and I need someone to do the Excel spreadsheet, right? Like, right. That's who my partner needs to be. So talk about your partnership.
Yeah, we're very similar. We're both sort of dreamers and, oh, like, maybe this would be cool. And we're both not... I mean, we're business savvy, but we're more design driven. Mm-hmm. And the thing that Jen and I really, you know, a lot of interior designers, you know, you can grow your business and you can have a lot of design assistants that work for you. And we just decided that that wasn't really how we wanted to run our business. So we actually are the ones that do almost everything. We have an assistant, but we don't give the design to the assistant and have the assistant design it, and then just show up to the meeting and be like, "Hey, you know,
look at our work that
we did. You know, yeah. Jen and I actually do the work. We do mm-hmm. the design, we pick it out, we order it from, you know, soup to nuts, everything. We do it. And so we can't take on as many clients as maybe some other big firms do, but I think our customer service is really there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really wanted to focus on. We just didn't want to become a really big firm with, it's just not how we wanted to do it, so.
Talk about some of the struggles and hurdles you've had as from opening your own business. I mean, you're an entrepreneur.
Right. It's definitely hard. I think you just can't give up on your dream, because we went through so many, we had some projects that were really tough and some clients that were tough, but then there's always like the opposite to that, where really we have really great projects and really great clients and, you know, sometimes you're not the right fit for everyone, and that's okay. And it's this learning curve of learning that, okay, this client is a great person, but I'm not the right designer for them. And it's just learning that.
So you will say no to people who are sort of interviewing you. You will say, "We're not a good fit for you."
Yeah.
That takes a lot of humility.
It took a while to get to that point because you want to help everyone, but you know that you just can't. And so a lot of times we'll take projects that are more something that we really feel passionate about rather than like, yeah, okay, well, we can do it. I mean, yeah, we can do it and it'll be great, but are we excited about it? So
that is the best feeling. That's what entrepreneurship is about.
It takes a really long time to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're too good to do someone's house, but mm-hmm. we're at that point where it's like, we want to really take things that are really exciting to us.
How do you teach someone to decorate their own room? Is that...
That's a loaded question.
I mean, your clients must be the people who just don't want to do it. They don't...
Yeah, so, you know, some clients are very involved and others aren't. Mm. It's fun to work with both because there's some clients that have a really great eye and they just need someone to kind of help them bring it together. But then there's other ones that are like, just do what you do. Like, I don't care what you do. I know it's going to be great. Like,
and is that true? Do they?
Yeah.
They don't turn around on that and say, actually, never mind.
No.
They just completely trust you.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great feeling?
And Jen and I really do a lot of repeat clients. Mm. So we've already been through that, like, oh, I'm not sure, is this going to be okay kind of point with them. Because whenever you meet someone new, you're like, are they really going to, like, deliver for me? Mm-hmm. And we're at the point now where it's like, most of our clients are repeat. And they're like, okay, here's, you know, the design fee. Like, just do your thing.
Do your thing.
Oh, and that's so fun.
That's so awesome.
And then they become like our family because you spend so much time with them working on their house, making it their home. And so I've acquired all these clients that have become like great friends of mine because we spend so much time together making their house a home. And it's really, really fun.
Talk about the best part of the process. Is it the beginning when you just see the raw space? Is it the end when it's finished?
Oh, the end when it's finished.
That's definitely it.
Because what Jen and I try to do is we provide you with a design board with exactly how your room's going to look. And it looks really pretty close to what your room's going to look like. And then we'll have you kind of say, okay, yes, this is great. And then we order everything. And there's kind of like this dead period where you're just kind of waiting for everything to come in. But we're kind of prepping in the background, making sure everything's coming, doing the accessories, all that little stuff. And then we say, okay, how about you just leave for the day? And then they come home and our furniture guys have come and delivered all the furniture. We've accessorized it. It's like, boom, it's done. And they're like ecstatic.
It's like their own little home decorating show.
It's so much fun. The reveal is so much fun. And sometimes they were like at work and I can't wait around for them. But I'll get like this text like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's amazing. You know, and that's the best. It's like, oh, phew, it turned out, you know, they liked it.
But you do like to be there for the actual reveal?
I love to if I can, yeah. My favorite is with the kids' rooms, to be there for the reveal.
Talk more about the kids' rooms. Do you talk to the little kids and find out their passions and their favorite colors and things?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's a nursery, like I usually design it more for the mom because, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, oh, I'm really into llamas right now. I'm really into, you know, flowers or whatever. I'll do that. But if it's kids, if I do get a chance to talk to them, like, hey, buddy, like, what's your favorite thing to play with? What's your favorite color? And sometimes they give me, like, weird answers, and the mom's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, don't worry.
I relate.
But I'll sort of throw it in, like, do a little nod to something for them, and I think they notice that, and they appreciate it. And I had this one little girl. I designed her playroom for her and her brothers. And she asked Santa Claus if Joe could design her bedroom for her for Christmas. So I sent a little video. I said, hey, I just got off the phone with Santa Claus. He told me that you really wanted me to design your room for Christmas. So I'm going to do it. It's going to be amazing. And so she watched it on Christmas and she's like, oh my gosh, Joe's going to design me. It was like the coolest thing. It was so fun.
Has there ever been an idea that a child threw out that was a good idea?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Can you think of an example?
Let me think.
Because I totally have had those moments where someone asks one of my small children their opinion, and I'm just shaking my head in the background like, no, no.
Yeah.
Oh, like, same thing. We're not doing that.
Well, we have this little one little little guy, he like really loved like skateboarding and stuff. And so we kind of made him like this California cool bedroom where we did plywood all over one of his walls. And then I had made a sun and painted it, and then we backlit it, and it kind of looked like the California, it was like a stylized sun. And that was cool because he was like, oh, this is like so rad. Like all my friends are thinking this is so cool. And we made him a bookcase, and we had cut out a skater guy, and then you would open it, and it was, I can't even explain it, but it turned out really, really cool. And he wanted the skater room. So we kind of gave him that.
So you have a lot of original pieces in your rooms, it sounds like.
Yeah, I make a lot of things for the rooms, mostly kids' rooms. Because I like my craft aesthetic is kind of a little bit more funky and playful and colorful. And so I'm more able to do that in kids' rooms rather than a dining room or a family room. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll make something special for the kids' room. And the parents are like, and sometimes it's just in my head and I can't really express to them what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. They're like, we just trust you, like, do your thing. I'm like, I'm going to make this cool thing and it's going to be this. And they're like, all right. And I'm like, if you don't like it, you don't have to buy it from me, but I think it's going to be really cool. And I don't really care because I just want to make it. I think it's going to be fun. And it always ends up being like the best part because it's something that you can't just buy at a local store or Pottery Barn or wherever.
You're listening to Created, a Blueprint podcast. Inspired? Fuel your own creativity at myblueprint.com, a home for makers, crafters, artists, and anyone who lives for the joy of creating by hand. You'll find projects, classes, shows, and more to help you get and stay in your peak creative zone. From crochet to cake decorating and everything in between, it's all at myblueprint.com.
When did you know you wanted to do this, be an interior designer? Was it a childhood moment? Because you knew this when you were in school that you wanted to do it.
Yeah, I was always a really, really crafty kid. I was always making stuff and creating and rearranging my room and painting things on my walls and doing all that kind of stuff. And my brother is 10 years older than me, and he's always, you know, been a role model for me. And when I went out to Arizona to college, I was like, he's like, what do you think you want to do? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, like maybe I'll be like an artist. And he's like, well, that's sort of a tough career path. And I'm like, well, what do you think I should do? And he's like, well, I think you should be an interior designer. And I said, okay. And I started taking the classes.
Thanks, brother.
And it ended up being like the perfect thing for me. Like I really couldn't pick a more perfect career for me. I feel so fulfilled by it. And I feel like I'm in the right place and I enjoy it. And I enjoy interacting with the clients. I'm like such a people person. So all those things are, all those things combined, the design, the people, the everything is like interior design, like rolled into one. So
what made you apply for making it?
You know, it was kind of like a random thing. Like all my friends are really crafty and creative. And we were kind of all talking like, oh, have you heard of Making It? It's like this new show on NBC. I'm going to apply. Are you going to apply? And I'm like, yeah, I'll apply. And so one night all my family had already went to bed. Like I'm a total night owl. I'm always up really late. And I remember I was drinking like a glass of wine. I was like, you know what? I'm going to apply for it. And I just went online and I applied like everybody else. I didn't have any contacts there. I don't know anybody in TV or anything. And they called me back. It was just meant to be, I guess. And then when I started having interviews with them, I'm like, this is like really real. Like they're really like actually interested in me. Like this is really strange. So I ended up flying out to Burbank and getting, I got interviewed by all the producers. And then I found out, I guess it was maybe like even a month or two later that I had gotten on. And I was like, really? Like you really want me? Like there's so many talented people, and I follow so many people on Instagram that have so much more content out there than I do, and so many more. And I was like, why are they interested in me? Like what? But I'm thankful that they were.
It was your first time doing TV.
Yeah, my first time doing TV. I mean, I had done some YouTube things with What's Up Moms. I designed a couple rooms with them, my business partner, Jen, and I. And so I kind of got my feet wet, like doing the videos for them. I thought that was really fun. And Brooke Mahan from What's Up Moms, she was really great. We had redone her kids' rooms. And I told her, I was like, I would have never even been interested in this if I hadn't done, because she had reached out to us and said, I'd really love to do a video with you guys, redo my kids' rooms. And that's how I kind of got excited into it. And then it just happened.
What were your takeaways from making it? What were some highs and lows?
Well, the thing I really loved was that my everyday life, I'm an interior designer. So it's speccing furniture, it's meeting with clients, it's picking out tile, it's doing AutoCAD work. And every time I craft, it's more of like something that I do on my off time, because I think it's fun. Like, I'll sit in front of the TV and make paper flowers or whatever. So it was so cool to be able to take like a month off of work and just like make stuff.
Yeah.
Like things that I just would never get an opportunity to, I would never have enough time to just like make all these things. And I think that the coolest thing for me is like, I'll have an idea in my head, and when I actually make it and realize it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I cannot believe I made this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And it's such a high for me to make something, and like, I feel so proud of it. Mm-hmm. And that was that, I felt so proud of almost everything I made on the show. I wasn't like a big fan of the St. Patrick's store that I did, but everything else I was really, really proud of. And so I knew that even if I didn't win the show, which I didn't, that I would still be so proud of everything that I'd made. So that was a high. And then the low, I think, was just being gone for so long and being away from my family, because I'm kind of a homebody. So it was just really, really hard being home, being away from them.
Did you like that the challenges had, I guess the word is context, or maybe not rules, but, you know, it was a very specific challenge that you were given. Did right. you like that about the making?
I did like that because it challenged me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, okay, just make something that you want. It was like, it has to be this and this and this. And then you have to, I really had to like, okay, like laser focus, make sure that it was something that felt still like something that I would make. Mm-hmm. Something that I was proud of, but then still be in those parameters. So it was like this fun challenge that you don't ever have usually with crafting. Mm-hmm. Like if you're making something, you're like, oh, well, I have this idea. I want to make this or that. And it can be whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Whereas it has to be, and you only have so much time. So yeah. It's fun. It's like a challenge.
And so it sounds like it wasn't a cheat show where you had a lot of pre-prep time. This was sort of in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. some of those shows, they know what's going on before they go.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Into the lion's den, if you will.
Right.
But you just really had to come up with these ideas.
Yeah.
Did you ever run dry of an idea, or just kind of came to you immediately?
Yeah. No, I definitely had like creator's block.
You did?
Yeah. And I think when you're creating so much stuff in such a short amount of time that you're like, you just feel like, I even said on the show, like, I just feel like I'm all out of my tricks. Like, I can't think of anything else, you know, to do. And so that kind of happened to me when I had done the St. Patrick's store. I just sort of felt like, gosh, what am I going to do with St. Patrick's Day? Like, it's leprechauns and rainbows. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really feel like I had a whole lot to give for that. And I was really scared I was going to go home that challenge, because I was just like, this is terrible.
Did this creative exercise of being away for a month change your business back home?
A little. It did a little bit. I mean, I obviously gained a lot more followers on Instagram. My business did, as well as my personal handle. My product sales, which were things I had made for previous kids' rooms I had sold in my shop, I started getting tons of orders for those. So that really picked up for me. I did kind of align myself with my clients and kind of stop short, knowing like, okay, this is the last project I'm going to take for a while, because I know that I'm going to be gone. And so when I got back, I basically just took the rest of the, because I came back in September, I kind of took the rest of the year off and sort of just enjoyed my family. We had just moved into our renovated our house that my husband and I just finished renovating.
And then you went off to do a show.
Yeah. So we had renovated it for almost a year, moved in, and then 3 weeks later I left. So it was like, we finally got to move into this house, and then I had to leave. So I spent a lot of time finishing my house by the end of that year and just taking time for myself and my family. And because it was stressful. I mean, stressful being gone, and it was stressful like coming up with those things so fast. So
was it worth that sacrifice? I mean, because that was a sacrifice. Your business partner had to hold down the fort.
Right.
Your husband, mm-hmm. your kid, you were gone from your kids. Would you do it again?
I would do it again. Yeah. It was such a great experience. It's kind of one of those like once in a lifetime things, mm-hmm. That, you know, I wouldn't take back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was tough because, you know, I had to make that sacrifice, but I would do it again. It was really, really fun.
Sometimes you have to have some growing pains, you know, to grow.
Right.
What's next for Joe?
I don't know. I am so excited to be working with Blueprint, and I am so excited about my room show that I'm going to be doing with them.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to be designing 6 kids' rooms, and we're going to be taking kids who are between the ages of like 8 and 14, and we're going to be taking kind of their kiddish room and giving them like a tween room, like a big kid room.
Nice.
So we're casting the kids now, and I'm so excited to do like 6 kids' rooms because they're my favorite thing to do. I love doing kids' rooms, so...
You can't see this because it's a podcast, but her eyes really do light up when she's talking about the kids' room. So I can attest that that is where your passion seems to lie.
Yes.
And it's so inspiring for me to just hear your journey because I'm also a creative person, but in a completely different way. And I actually tried to design/decorate my house with help from my friend, interior designer. And I just, props to you. It is not an easy job.
Definitely not.
and there's so much at stake, really, with your job because it's your dwelling and it's your safe place and it's
right.
your home.
Mm-hmm.
And you just were talking about that, how you did that to your own home and then left.
Right.
And how hard that was for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your home is where you feel safe and where you want to be surrounded by things that you love. And, you know, trying to create that for people is really, really a special thing to do for them. It's a very personal thing. So I do really enjoy it.
I've so enjoyed talking to you today,
Joe. You too, thank you.
And I encourage everyone listening to check out all the things she's doing because she's pretty great.
Oh, thanks, Christy.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for listening to Created, a Blueprint podcast. Check out even more in-depth interviews with your favorite creators at myblueprint.com.